for Melbourne Airport at Terminal Parking. From under $20 a day, book now at melbourneairport.com.au. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. On SEN Summer Breakfast.
The stars aligned one night for me in at Flushing Meadows, but Roger's just, one of the greatest ever. He's a class act, and there's no doubt I'm going to have to bring my A game, improve upon this performance. Whenever you play Roger, you're normally not the... You don't normally have the crowd support, so there's a lot of corporates that sit at Rod Laver. I'm one for the people. I might ask Craig if we can schedule it out here on Melbourne Arena.
That is the voice of Johnny Millman, David King, doing some magnificent work at Melbourne Park again this year. Through to the third round, he took care of business yesterday against Hubert Urquhart, 6-4, 7-5. 6-3, and he's got that tantalising matchup on Friday night against Roger Federer. But he spent some bickies. He might be a bit sore. He's just woken up, which is why we really appreciate him taking our call this morning, because he joins us on the line. Congratulations, John. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Good to be here. Thanks for the that little pump-up talk at the start there. I like that.
not a problem at all, mate. Any time. I've got to say, though, I'm surprised you found the time to join us, because I would have thought you'd be on the phone to Craig Tiley trying to push the Swiss Maestro out to show court three.
Oh, look, I think Craig might look after Roger with that one. He sold him a fair few tickets in the past. But obviously, I love the Aussie crowd support, and I've been lucky enough to play my first couple of matches on show court three and Melbourne Arena, and both of those courts are notorious for, you know, the vocal Aussie crowds you get there. So I use their energy. I love playing in front of them, and I'm looking forward to another match, but I think it'll be on a slightly bigger one.
Oh, you've been great to watch. Tell us what it's like pulling up after a game like yesterday. Are you sore today? How long does it take you to recover? And I think, is it right that you're playing doubles today with Big Quanny, your mate?
Quanny.
Yeah, Sunwon Kwan. Look, it was a tricky match yesterday with the short recovery. My match originally, my first round match, was scheduled for Monday, and it got washed out. So I played quite a physical first round on Tuesday, and then the backup for the best of five set match on Wednesday is not something that we normally do, and it's not something I've done before. So as you get older, the body takes a little longer to recover, and it kind of takes a little longer for those sore muscles to go away. But I'm relieved that I don't have a singles match today, and I can play a little bit of doubles, have a bit of fun with Kwan, who's actually a very good player, and get ready for my next one on Friday.
Yeah, she's a big one, this one. So we referenced earlier the 2018 US Open, which it was insanely hot. Now, unfortunately, the forecast isn't the same here come Friday. I think it's a relatively mild 23 degrees, unfortunately, for you, Johnny. But how do you look back on that particular game where you knocked him over, Roger? And do you take any lessons from that, even though it was a couple of years ago now?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the roof closed and turn the heaters on, I reckon.
Well, we like that here.
Yeah, look, I like the I like those humid conditions. I like those heavy conditions. Bringing a physical brand of tennis is something that, you know, I've had to do my whole career, because I haven't necessarily been able to rely on, you know, a massive serve or quick points. I have to work for them. That night in Flushing Meadows was really special. I played some great tennis, and no doubt about it, Roger probably had a bit of an off night, as you know, he's human and you do that. But it was a fantastic experience. It gave you a lot of belief, but I have no doubt now that my next match with him is going to be extremely difficult. He's one of the best in history for a reason, and I'm sure that, you know, he'll be keen to put me in my place, but it's so good, isn't it? This is why you play tennis. You play tennis and you play sport to test yourself against the very best, because down the track, when you finish, they're the stories that people want to hear. So I'm very grateful that I've got an opportunity to play Roger, someone like Roger, you know, in my home slam. And hopefully I can get a little bit of the crowd support there on Friday.
Tell us a bit, John, about the mental approach to playing Roger. You often see players half defeated before they start these games. It looks like, you know, and just hearing you talk now, you're so excited for this opportunity again. And having beaten him only, you know, 18 months ago, it is one of those opportunities that is something that you're going to take with both hands.
Yeah, look, now he did get me halfway through the year. We played in Hulla, which I think he's won about 11 times. He's got a street named after him there in that town. So, yeah, if that's not intimidating, I don't know what is. But, look, Roger, I think it's you're probably doing a bit of a disservice, not to, just to yourself, but all the people that, you know, have worked so hard to get you in this position. And you know, tennis is actually a team game. Behind the scenes, there's so many people that give you that support, give you their knowledge to put you out there. And I think you're doing a little bit of a disservice if you go out there and you play someone's reputation. I've been lucky enough to play some of the best players in the world. Well, I have. I've played all the best players in the world. Sometimes you go out there and you get spanked, you know. But the one thing that you can control is that you start off at zero all, and you're not going to go out there and play someone's reputation, because I think that puts you behind the eight ball from the get-go. So I try to control what I can control, and that is going out there and giving it a crack and giving it, 100% effort. And then you never know. You never know if it might be your night and maybe, you know, it's not theirs. So you can control what you can control, and that's what I plan to do. And at the end of the day, give it a bit of a crack.
Absolutely. I mean, you describe yourself as a typical Aussie bloke, and I think that's why people have an affinity with you, John, that you've been seen and you have extracted the absolute utmost out of yourself. I mean, you're 30 now. You probably don't need me to remind you of that. And you've squeezed every last drop out. I think people who might only follow the sport every January here in Australia, you know, we see some players come through who perhaps have all the talent in the world and not the application, but certainly you've had all the application and more, and it serves you well from a mental perspective as much as anything.
Yeah, definitely. Look, early on, you know, I did all my schooling back home in Brizzy, and when I first decided I'd have a crack at tennis, I probably think there's a lot of talent scouts and a lot of people that would have thought that, you know, this guy's having a laugh and he'll be one of the numbers that, you know, just make up the grinding futures early on tours of tennis, and that's where the majority of people lie. And for me, I've had to work at it. It's been like an apprenticeship. I've had to work hard, and like you've said, I have had to try to get absolutely everything out of my game. And with that, I think comes a great deal of pride. You know, I have no, I'm not embarrassed to say that. I've had to really work at this game, and I've had to try to get everything out of myself, because, you know, probably I probably wasn't the most talented kid growing up, but I did have other talents, and you know, my parents instilled a pretty big work ethic in me, and I had a bit of a fighting, never say die attitude from a young age. And I think if you can control those things, I think you can tick a lot of boxes and you can go far in sport in general.
Oh, I think maybe one of those other talents might be the trivia, isn't it, Johnny? I mean, nothing says typical Aussie bloke like attending the local bowls club regularly when you're back home for the trivia nights.
Yeah, Wednesday night, Norman Park Bowls Club, across the road from my parents' house. I try to hustle up a few of my mates, and we go and play a bit of trivia. Some of them are pretty useless, to be honest with you. I'm the scribe, so, you know, I make sure I get the answers all down. You have to have a clear head for that, because you're getting all these rubbish answers being thrown, and sometimes you just got to back your own one. So, yeah, look, it's we travel 40 weeks a year, and probably even more, 40 to 45 weeks a year overseas, and it's tough. It's not all glitz and glamour like you'll see on the TVs. It's a lot of travel, and it's a lot of time spent away from home. So when you are back home, and when you get those couple of weeks here and there, you just want to go back to doing what you missed out on, and for me, that's playing a bit of trivia and you know, cracking open a 4X tinny with the boys.
We need the fan support, John. I know that you're a gatherer of people, and I love the way you've embraced that this week, talking about getting the drunks behind you. Now, a Friday night session is perfect for you.
Oh, it's a good slot.
Given Friday afternoon drinks in Melbourne's a massive part of our culture, rolling down to support you. This is the stars are aligning here.
Yeah, we need them to open up their coffers though, because I think the tickets are a little expensive for those big courts. But I copped a little bit actually. You know, obviously everyone has an opinion these days, and
yes. And
they asked me about, you know, the vocal Aussie crowds, I said that the louder and drunker the better. Now I'm not necessarily saying that everyone, you know, should be drinking or whatever, but the event these days at the Australian Open is an entertainment industry, and people go there, and if they want to have a drink or if they don't want to have a drink, what you want to encourage them is to have a good time. And if they're doing it, if they're not hurting anyone, I think it's awesome. The atmosphere that they create at the Australian Open, it's a very unique slam, because it's not just about the tennis. It's about soaking up everything else at the tennis. Some people go there and they don't even watch a ball, and I'm absolutely fine with that, because they're embracing the event. It really is, in my opinion, one of Australia's, you know, greatest events that we have, and that's all credit to the tournament organisers and the hard work that they do year round to make this such a special event, not just for the spectators but for the players also. And that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about letting your hair down and having a good time. And I definitely feel that when I play. I feel the energy that crowd brings. And hopefully Friday Arvo, we can get out there and really enjoy it and soak it up.
I was just going to touch on that, John. What's it worth in terms of when you're out there in the heat of battle and the crowd, they rally behind you? What's it worth?
Yeah, look, I can't tell you how many times I feel as if that crowd's gotten me over the line. I remember one match actually out on Show Court 3. It would have been back in, I reckon, 2016. I was playing against a guy called Gilles Muller. He's a big left-handed Luxembourg, great lefty serve. He's since retired, but he was one of the top 20 seeds back then. And I was absolutely knackered. It was I ended up winning 7-5 in the fifth set. And throughout that fifth set, any opportunity that it was a twilight match, so probably a few people had a couple of drinks, and any opportunity that they had to get behind me just lifted me. And you know, the match had gone on for ages, and it was my first five set win where I'd won it in the decider. And I have to credit them, and I still look back, and I've been able to play on some great courts all over the world, and I'm very blessed and lucky to have done so. But it's funny that match stays well in the mind, and that's because of the crowd, and that's because of that energy they gave me, and I really do think that they got me over the line in that match. And I'm the type of player that feeds off the energy of the crowd. I play, like we discussed, I play that physical style of tennis, and you know, I'll take absolutely any little bit of motivation to try to will those legs on to chase down another ball. And being able to play at home in this month is so special, because the rest of the year we're overseas, and this is the one month that you earmark on the calendar that you'll know you'll have the home support. However, against Roger, that's probably the one time when I'm not actually too sure if I do have the support, because he's loved universally, and wherever I play him, he's got a fair bit of support.
No, John, I think you're selling yourself short. There's off our text machine here from Daz. Johnny Millman just went to number one on the Goog Bloke ledger.
Yes.
So you speak well. We love it. We're right behind you. And most importantly, we just appreciate you coming on at a really hectic and obviously super important time for yourself. And as I say, we're right behind you here at SEN. And thanks very much for joining us. Good luck tomorrow night with Roger Federer. Best of luck.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.